Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Yeah, I had to think about it, apparently.
Well, you know, so sometimes thinking about it is good. Otherwise, maybe you're just giving a thoughtless response, and maybe you're not good.
It's true. It could have been a knee-jerk platitude, but no, I'm good.
Right. Yeah. I totally get it.
I have a 5K iMac now. I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah, you're rocking the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I love the screen on that iMac. Go you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Also, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How's it going, Adam?
It's going good. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday. So there's a Buffy joke in there?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I watched enough Buffy to appreciate the joke.
What? Did I just miss a Buffy joke?
Yeah.
It Must Be Tuesday?
Yeah.
Buffy's excellent.
Sister's in trouble. It must be Tuesday.
Must say, Don's in trouble. Yeah. Must be Tuesday. One of my favorite lines from the show, is for sure.
See? There you go. Just me throwing around a little pop culture for you.
That's good, considering the fact that you never saw that episode.
I did not see that episode. No. No. Maybe someday I'll go back and watch the rest of the series, but that's that's a really long, drawn-out story.
Yeah, you need to do it, man.
Yeah. Well, I have some issues to get over.
You do, actually. Yes.
Yeah. Anyhow, speaking of issues, Apple released a new case for the iPhone 6S today. And I'm curious what you guys think. But before you give me your reactions, I'm going to fill our listeners in on what Apple did. So they released this new silicon case for the iPhone 6S, and it has a battery built in. So the case kind of wraps onto your iPhone, and instead of being flat across the back, it looks like someone took a bunch of credit cards and jammed them inside the case. And so now it kind of bulges out in the middle. And they say it's a smart case, so it drains its own battery first, and then once its battery is dead, then your iPhone's built-in battery starts to drain, which is a nice feature. And I just read that it has a built-in antenna, so it's supposed to improve the reception on the iPhone 6S.
Thank goodness we finally have a way to extend our battery life on our iPhones, because we haven't had any kind of way of doing that till now.
Oh, Brian, you're going down the exact path that was my immediate reaction. Actually, my immediate reaction was, oh, great, the Costanza wallet of iPhone cases.
That's awesome.
Because it's got a giant bulge. It doesn't sit flat on a desk. It tilts at an angle, probably. No, I think it probably would sit flat, but it could tilt because it's got a big
flat
hunchback
on it. Suspended off the desk because it's got this
because it has that battery
hunchback, and you know it is a battery, so I guess technically it could explode. Probably won't. I'm not implying that it would, but you know, like a Costanza wallet. It may happen.
It's ugly. It's freaking ugly.
I know. It's horrible.
But it comes in two colors, white and charcoal gray. So now we have space gray, space black, and charcoal gray.
Yeah. But
so I take it you guys are nonplussed by this case.
So after I got over my initial shock of the design and just how bad it is, and let's also point out just a nice design element, the LED indicator to indicate when it's charging or fully charged is inside the case, yet you can charge it, the battery, while the iPhone is in the case, although you can't see the light to see if it's fully charged or not until you take the iPhone out.
But are you sure with that?
Yes.
Yeah, but it does also do an on-screen display. So
yes, you can pull down. It does show up in the
in notifications.
The notification center and also in somewhere else in settings or something like
that. Well, if you needed some other indicator, Apple would have given it to you. Therefore, you don't need it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm just getting back. And to me, just the design is just really... and you have no way to turn it off either. So if you want to leave your phone in a case all the time to keep it protected, but you don't want to use up all your extra battery that the battery case provides, you have to take it out of the case. It's not solving any problem that anybody had. So I don't understand why Apple, who already seems to be very stretched for engineering and resources internally, would spend time on a product like this. There are so many great third-party options available that solve this problem already that I don't understand why Apple would have devoted resources to it. That's my big frustration.
And I get that. I mean, that's kind of sort of like not our call. So I'm a little bit less tense about that. But I am tense about the fact that it is unattractive. I mean, if Apple is going to release a battery case, it should be attractive. And if it's going to have, it's not an efficient use of the footprint in my pocket.
Right.
The battery should go edge to edge.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, go edge to edge. Even keep the same amount of battery, go to edge to edge and make it that much thinner. Isn't that Apple's thing?
Couldn't it be a little bit thinner?
Isn't that Apple's thing? Thinner for the sake of thinness? Also, Apple, when you have to release a battery pack for your own iPhone, maybe you should make it a little thicker with a slightly bigger battery.
True.
Okay, so you guys both have the 6S, like I do.
Yeah.
My battery life is not that great. Like, I cannot go a day with minimal usage and not have to charge at least partway through the day. Mm. And so far today, after posting a photo on Instagram and checking Twitter and email this morning, my phone is at 87%. And I don't have Facebook installed, and I don't have any apps that are showing that they're using an inappropriate amount of my battery.
I've not had issues. I love my 6S.
I like, except for the lack of battery. I like the 6S.
I love my 6S. I just wish that it had better battery life.
But so, Brian, are you having battery issues with your 6S? Like, do you notice it not lasting a day? Mine lasts a day fine. I've never had an issue getting through a day with it.
I haven't, because of my rather sedentary lifestyle, charging my device is never an issue.
Right.
And my point is that I have noticed that I'm getting less time between charges, but I haven't had to quantify it. It's not a big enough issue for me to figure out exactly how much more I have to charge it. But yeah. I'm noticing less battery.
Yeah, it's Jeff. I think it's for me. It's one of those things where I'm maybe a little in Brian's camp too. I don't really pay attention to it. I just use my iPhone the way I've always used my iPhones, and I always seem to have the battery that I need when I need it. So, I'm one of those people that's even turned off the percentage indicator because I just don't even care or want to know, because I just know just works.
Yeah, and so. I like having the percentage indicator on because my battery just seems to go so fast. And maybe I'm just holding it wrong or something. I don't know.
It could be. You know, I look at this. I look at the photographs of this case, and it just seems like the battery was grafted on. I don't like it.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, it looks like an afterthought. It looks like they took one of their silicone cases and just stuck a battery inside of it and called it a day.
That is kind of how it looks. Yes. Hey, one thing we haven't discussed yet is the price on this. So it's $99.
Yeah.
Which does make it more expensive than many other battery cases for the
iPhone. And
what's the capacity compared to, say, you know, juice pack from Mophie?
About two thirds, roughly.
Seriously?
Yep.
Oh, good
Lord. It's 1800 milliamp hours. And I believe the Mophie, the thin one from Mophie, is 3000. And Monoprice makes a 3000 one too. That's, I think, $40.
Right. And, okay, so.
And does go edge to edge. Both of those go edge to edge, I'm pretty sure.
So Apple's battery will not give you a full charge from on a completely dead iPhone 6S. I'm going to guess that's probably about 3/4 of a charge.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Now, yeah. That said, I'm betting there are some people that are really going to like the case. When I saw it,
no doubt.
My first thought was indifference. And that's pretty damning right there, because typically when you see an Apple product, you have some sort of emotional reaction. And I came back with a meh.
My first reaction was I thought it was a joke. Honestly, I saw it in my RSS feed and I'm like, oh, somebody's doing a joke. And then
I saw it
more and more. And then I was like, oh, this is a real thing.
There's one thing, and I sort of mean this seriously. There is one thing that this case has that other battery cases don't have, and that's the Apple logo on the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be honest. Most of us are Apple fans to some degree, and we like the Apple logo.
Yeah.
Other than that, this thing is ridiculous. This thing is ridiculous, man. It's just look at it. It's ridiculous.
I did like, so if you look at the design of it internally and sort of how the phone slides in, I did like that. So it's, you know, Apple has that microfiber on the inside of, say, like its leather cases. So it looks like it's kind of a hard case up until the point. So it's silicone on the outside, but the interior is, it looks like firm up to the point where it gets near the top, near the cutout for where the camera would be. And then because it's silicone, that can sort of fold back so you can slide the phone in down to the lightning connector, and then you wrap that silicone part over the top. And I kind of like that because, you know, I love Apple's leather case, and that's the one I use on my phone. But, you know, sort of cramming it in is always a problem in that area because it'll like, you know, flip my sleep-wake, or not the sleep-wake, the rotation lock button or the silent button.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it is now.
Yeah, the silent button.
And so I thought that was a nice design choice, but beyond that,
I also like Apple's leather case, and I'm wearing it now. It's either that one or Specs Mighty Shell 2. Yep. Is the current one the 2? Is that the 2X? Yeah, does 2X military strength? It's got a relatively small footprint, but Apple's leather case is just gorgeous. And you can see some of those same design lines in this new battery case. What's this thing called, by the way? Smart battery case?
Smart battery case.
Tremendous name. You can see some of those same design elements in this thing that are present in the leather case, which is great, except for the fact that you then have to have this humpback thing going on to accommodate the battery. Doesn't make any sense. Go edge to edge. What the heck? This is so ridiculous.
Yeah. It looks like it was designed, the design was an afterthought. It was just like, let's just throw a battery in this thing. And it's like somebody phoned it in, which is just not Apple.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I went to see one.
We probably need to move on. We probably spent way too much time talking about a case.
Well, we did spend more time than I thought we would. However, it's pretty clear that Apple has just released a product that did elicit an emotional reaction, just not the one they were hoping for. So, yeah, I'm going to go check one out in Apple Store and see what I think in person.
But many Apple products, I've said reactionary things and then changed my mind. I don't think that's going to happen on this one, but okay.
Yeah, I'll keep an open mind, but I don't think I'm going to be spending $100 on this case. All right. So, yeah, let's move on. And we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Drobo. And I'm really glad that they are sponsoring us this week because they do make some pretty cool products for data storage. One of the things they make that I think is like really awesome is the Drobo 5N. And what it is, it's a RAID system. You plug in your own hard drives up to 5, hence the 5 in the name, and it goes on your network, hence the N in the name. And then it becomes network storage that you can use for all your computers, and you can load apps onto it. So you can take the Drobo 5N and extend its capabilities. And one of the things that I think is really cool is that there's a Plex app for it. So you can get a Drobo 5N and turn it into a big Plex media server so you can keep all your music and your videos there and then play them from anywhere, including the new Apple TV, because there's a Plex app for Apple TV now too. And one of the other things that I love is that you can add and remove drives as you need. So if you can't afford to just totally load it up with drives in the beginning, no problem. Just pop a couple in, save up some money, pop more in later on, and you don't have to shut anything off or reconfigure anything. It sorts it all out and just does it for you. It's awesome. So you should totally check it out. Also, if you go to the Drobo online store, which is drobostore.com, D-R-O-B-O, store.com, and use the discount code TMO100, you can get $100 off the Drobo 5N or the Drobo Mini or the Drobo 4 Bay. So you have options there. You can have a portable version, you can have a basic desktop version, or you can have the network version, $100 off any of those. And that's a really good deal, $100 off. So drobostore.com, use the discount code TMO100, and pick yourself up an awesome Drobo just in time for the holidays. And thank you, Drobo, for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is the news that's come out of France. So the deal is that law enforcement in France are pushing to get the French government to pass a law that would require that all open and free Wi-Fi networks shut down during a state of emergency. And then they're also pushing for a law that would ban the use of Tor inside the country. And Tor, if you're not familiar with it, is it's an online service that lets you surf the web anonymously. And so French law enforcement want both of these things enacted to help prevent terrorism attacks.
Yeah, ISIS is probably just going to give up just right away as soon as that law passes.
Yeah, yeah. And okay, so I'm going to start off with the Wi-Fi part, because that's something that affects, I think, more people immediately. And my feeling is shutting down the Wi-Fi networks once a state of emergency is declared is not going to prevent problems, nor is it going to, I think, make law enforcement's job any easier. And I think it's the end result really is that the witnesses and victims of whatever criminal or terrorist acts the French government is hoping to avoid, those people will be cut off. They won't have a communication system.
It'll have one more effect, and that's to make sure that the wireless networks are overwhelmed.
Yes, there's that too. And when a state of emergency is declared, this isn't something that goes for just a couple hours. This is days or weeks. And right now, France is looking at extending the state of emergency that they're currently under following the horrible terrorist attack that they recently had, so that it would be a three-month window. So if this was a law and was in effect, that would mean that there's no open or public Wi-Fi networks in all of France for at least 3 months. And that just doesn't seem to be very helpful.
Now, this is even stupider than U.S. law enforcement and intelligence agencies wanting encryption to not exist. It's just, this is, the difference is I can at least, I see the rationale behind, I see the stick my head in the sand wishing involved with wanting back doors into encryption.
Yeah.
Right. I understand that sort of the truthiness of why it is that they pursue that. This business in France, with local law enforcement wanting, doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
No, and it doesn't strike me as a move that would prevent criminal activities, because if the bad guys are going to use public networks for their communication, they're doing it before the event happens, which means they're doing it when the Wi-Fi networks are available. So I don't see how this would prevent a terrorist.
Yeah, it won't. And in what way? I mean, it's not like the bad guys are going to be rushing through the cities in their attempts to flee using public Wi-Fi. I don't know what does this solve? The only thing it's going to do is hurt the citizenry.
That's my feeling too. The logic is that if you're on a public network, it's more difficult to figure out where you really are.
Yeah, you can't track somebody because they can bounce from public network to public network, right?
Right, right. So the idea that they have, which is don't let people jump from network to network, I get where they're trying to go with this, but I think that their efforts are misguided.
Well, again, if these guys are smart enough to plan these kinds of attacks, they're going to be smart enough, you know, to figure other ways of, I mean, like, it's not going to slow them down. That's the thing. And as you both already pointed out, the net result is it only hurts the citizens.
Right.
And cuts them off. And what about their ability to report something or, you know, I mean, you've effectively shut down public communication that could actually benefits to an investigation.
Yes, I agree completely. Yes. Which then brings us to the other half of this, which is Tor. And blocking the use of Tor in France, well, first, that's a lot harder to do than I'm assuming law enforcement realizes. Because even if they set up, like China has done, their own great firewall and start blocking Tor ports, well, those are just the publicly known ports. There's right. A lot of other ways to get into Tor, and there's just no way there, to block all those.
There are ports. Proxies and the very least, if France was able to legislate Tor out of existence, it would only result in other things coming up to replace it.
Right, and it's not like Tor is the only option right now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have to scramble to find another alternative. They just roll over to the next thing and keep going. And then once again, the only people that are really hurt are the citizens in France who might be legitimately using Tor. Maybe if you are – okay, here's a common use of Tor. You're a journalist and you have sources that need to remain anonymous – and maybe you're working on an article that's really sensitive and you need to make sure that no one is tracking your activities, use Tor.
Yeah, or financial networks or, you know, right. any kind of all kinds of private communications have legitimate reasons for
– Or even network troubleshooting. You need to force yourself through other IP addresses to test something. Well, if you're using Tor, that IP address is changing all the time. What a great way to do that.
So the threat of terrorism is scary. And it is especially scary, or it is certainly also scary, to those whose job is to prevent it. And it's intimidating and it's worrisome and it is troublesome, and it's a bad thing. But we are increasingly standing on the verge of a point where we need to decide what's important to us. Do we as people, as citizens of various countries, the U.S., France, Britain, any country where freedom and privacy are cornerstones of our civil liberties, we need to decide if we're going to chuck all that out the window or if we're going to stand firm in the face of these folks and learn how to fight them in ways that don't compromise and end our privacy and personal security. Yeah. And you know, I understand the knee jerk reaction. I cannot imagine being law enforcement in France right now and having felt so helpless while the attacks that took place.
And isn't one of the whole concepts behind terrorism to disrupt people's daily lives?
Yes.
So by taking away things like public Wi-Fi, you're furthering the disruption. So I don't know. It seems to me like you're making the terrorism more effective.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The public Wi-Fi business is just not. It's incomprehensible.
Yeah. And yet here we are with France in a position where this could become law.
Well, and as Brian pointed out, though, too, it's not just France that, you know, is doing these reactionary things. The U.S., I mean, it's just
the Western world yeah. Right now is faced with very, very, very hard questions. And I think that we as citizens need to, first of all, understand that we can't necessarily be perfectly safe all the time, but that chucking our personal security, chucking our privacy out the window is not the way to stop it.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I hope that when the opportunity in France comes up to really seriously look at this, which will be in January, that they've calmed down and realize this is a bad idea. Yeah. And hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely, man.
And Adam, thank you for being here too.
Hey, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have both you guys on the show. And listeners, thank you for joining us. And head over to the Drobo store, drobostore.com, and use the discount code TMO100. Get yourself $100 off a Drobo Mini, Drobo 4-Bay, or Drobo 5N, and get yourself some awesome storage. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.